Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It is time once again for Rattling Cages right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, JL Steele, finally getting in to the new studio to do a new show. We've had some issues getting in past couple weeks, some technical difficulties, but at the same time, we tried to bring you everything that we could, and we are going to have a good show today. Of course, we got an interview that we got to share with you that we did a couple weeks ago with Carson Quapple, who at the time, JL, had got a top five finish in his first Xfinity Series start. And then yesterday, he goes out and just absolutely wheels the thing again to finish second at Dover. And, you know, JL, something I was thinking about on the way over here this morning, because I got a lot more time to think about it now that I have a longer commute over. But when you think about, you know, drivers that we've seen come up, and we talk all the time about guys that are in the sport and their fathers have been in the sport, so they have been around it for a while. They've had some chances that a lot of other guys don't get. And Carson, you know, he kind of got a little bit of a later start than some of those guys that you normally see. I mean, you see Ty Gibbs running in the Cup Series at 19 and 20 years old. You see Chase Elliott, you know, making that big jump early. Ryan Blaney making that big jump early. You see all these guys making early jumps. And Carson, you know, he's 21 years old, and he's made – I don't even know how you would describe it. It's like, you know, you put the guy in the car. It's like, okay, well, let's see what he can do. If he can do good in this, then, you know, maybe he's got something. And he's got two top five finishes in his first two Xfinity Series starts. Now, of course, Carson is the son of former Truck Series champion. He won it back in 2003, Travis Quapple. And, of course, Carson's not old enough to remember that because that's the year that he was born. So he doesn't even remember Travis winning the Truck Series championship. Of course, his dad ran in the Truck Series for a long time. But it's just great to see someone like him, you know, coming to the series. And he's been racing the cars late model tour. But he's absolutely getting it done both times that he sat in the JR Motorsports number 88 Chevrolet. JL, how are we doing this morning, man?
Well, doing great. Trying to still wake up. Had a great time at Smoky Mountain Speedway last night.
Oh, you got to see Lenny.
Got to see Lenny, hang out with him and his son. He did a great job covering the race for Hunt the Front TV through Performance Racing Network at the track. And great guy. And for dirt track fans, they'll know this name, but Randy Weaver from Crossville, who's a late model, really a legend in this area, had to step out of the car a few years ago due to injury. He was helping Lenny call the heat races and the last chance qualifier. So it was good to see and hear Randy Weaver and get his insight and his take on what was happening and with the track and who to watch and so on. But great crowd. It was perfect weather. It took a little longer to work the track in because of all the rain we had Friday. But they had Red Farmer out there, NASCAR Hall of Fame member. Had Newport's L.D. Ottinger, longtime Busch Series driver. And it was just a great night all around. It was late, but it was definitely worth it. So great time last night. And to pick up on what you're saying about Carson, I think a lot of people kind of possibly dismissed that his first run at Martinsville because he'd raced that track before.
Right.
He'd been there late models. This was his first time at Dover yesterday, and that's not an easy track, even for veterans. And so for him to keep his nose clean, to do the right thing all day, to work himself up into second place at a track like Dover is really impressive. And I don't mean to put unnecessary pressure on a guy, but I'm telling you, if you're just even a casual fan of the Xfinity Series, you better start paying attention to Carson Quapple. Of course, PRN called him Travis all day yesterday, but Carson has a very bright future in that series, and you better start paying attention.
And start paying attention quick, because if he keeps having this sort of success, he's not going to be in the Xfinity Series long. And then, of course, you have to start thinking about, okay, well, where is he going to go in the Cup Series? Of course, we all know the tie with JRM and Hendrick Motorsports. We all know that tie. But there are other avenues in which he can take, and there's going to be a lot of guys interested, a lot of teams interested, if he continues this success. Now, of course, nobody expects him to hop in the Starcom Fiber double zero car that Quinn Half wheeled to about 38th place every week. But at the same time, you have to start wondering, you know, someone's going to take a flyer on this guy, but who's it going to be? Now, I think we might be jumping the gun on that a little bit, but, you know, that's something that immediately went to my mind yesterday once I saw the results of the Xfinity Series race. Now, I was watching the Tennessee baseball game and eating Prince's Hot Chicken over at a local brewery, and I'm paying for it, you know, last night and today. But at the same time, you know, you like to keep up with the Xfinity Series. You like to keep up with the Truck Series. JL, you've done a fantastic job of keeping up with what's going on here locally. And, you know, the interview that we did with Lenny, you know, highlights that in a way. It's like, you know, how are these local tracks gonna get more people out to the track? So,
well, I'll tell you what, like, I didn't realize this till I got out to Smoky Mountain, but I-75 was running last night also. They were running sprint cars, which we don't see a lot of sprint cars in this part of the country. Kind of surprised that two tracks that close to each other would run big events on the same night, but, you know, it is what it is. But it certainly did not take away from the crowd last night at Smoky Mountain and the names that were there. I mean, we had Scott Blomquist and Dale McDowell, Brandon Overton. I guess the World of Outlaws and the Lucas Series weren't running last night, so we got a lot of big names. Had some local names running well. Rusty Ballinger out of Seymour finished in the top 10. It was just a great race. Guy from Iowa, Ryan Gustin, I think he bled flag to flag. I mean, he put a whipping on him last night. But I tell you, if last night was any indication, local racing is in a really good spot right now. And they're running, I have to look at the date, but in June, Lucas Series is going to be out there with a $50,000 to win event. That's going to be a huge field. We had like 44 cars last night trying to make 24 spots for $15,000 to win. June is going to be $50,000 to win. That's going to be a huge event out there.
That's going to be massive. And, JL, I'd like to point out something really quick. You know, we talk about, you know, at the start of the show, moving into this new studio. And, of course, I can't be more thankful because I can go into a place that does not smell every Sunday morning. It does not smell like a middle school locker room in here. It smells like an actual business. And another thing, JL, I did not notice just how far technology had come because I've not been behind the board down here yet. I've only been in my chair across the room over here standing behind the host desk because I got to be hoity-toity for a second. And I look at this board, and JL, you never got to go to the old studio, but the board I would say at the old studio is probably about 4 feet long, and this one might be about 2 feet long. So I'm just back here just kind of like not in my own element, having to adjust myself because I'm not used to seeing technology that's, you know, up to date. I'm used to seeing technology that's older than me when it comes to this. It's pretty incredible. Of course, last week, you know, we had the race at Talladega in which we thought Michael McDowell was going to get him another one, and then Tyler Reddick steals one. That's the nature of the beast when it comes to Talladega. But overall, what would you rate last week's race at Talladega?
Well, that's a good question. I know it took a lot of heat, people not happy with this fuel mileage racing on the speedways. We had it at Daytona, we had it last Sunday, but fuel mileage has always been part of racing. I can't tell you how many times I remember seeing Harry Gant stretch fuel, and he used to infuriate guys like Kyle Petty. I think I've mentioned that before, but Harry Gant was a master at stretching fuel, and it's just part of it. I mean, tire wear is part of it, fuel mileage is part of it, track position is part of it. It takes all of that. So I found it entertaining. It was one that I watched for the most part from start to finish. Hated that last block for McDowell. You could just kind of see it happening. He came down so far and so quickly. It is almost like slow motion. I hate that it took him out and tore up a lot of the good race cars. But I thought it was a good race. I mean, if I was rating a scale of 1 to 10, I might give it, you know, a 7 or 8. So I had no problem with it.
See, and I was kind of in the same camp on that one. I mean, I didn't think it was an awful race at all. You know, there's certain things that you want to see better, and I think that applies to a lot of races, if not all of them. There are certain things that you want to see better. I mean, you either get it or you don't. I mean, there's never going to be a perfect race. Like, that's something that, you know, a lot of people they want to think that every race can be a perfect race. It just can't be. And I understand that. And, you know, I'm not going to have any issues with what happened last week because that was what it should be. It's not perfect, but it was a good race. It's when we start rating stuff between the 0 to 4 mark, even the 5 mark, in which it's like, okay, well, you've really got to do better than that. And there have been races like that.
Yeah, and we had some strategy calls. You know, the Toyotas, they pitted later to try to force the other teams to up the pace because they were going to be, if that thing had gone green, they would have been able to finish without another stop. Mm-hmm. Fords and Chevys would have been able to. So that was interesting. Unfortunately, it didn't play out. Thanks, John Hunter Nemechek. But so you had that wrinkle and guys trying something a little different. And it was an entertaining race. And I think, unfortunately, there's just a segment of the fan base, at least on social media, that, you know, would whine and cry if Earnhardt came back and miraculously won a race. You know, it's just that's what they do. But I know a lot of folks don't like speedway racing. I always do, always have. It's just it's different. It's certainly different than what you're going to see today at Dover, but that's a place I've never been fond of. But it was a good race.
And then, of course, we had Texas the week before that, and the amount of spinouts, not just on the green white checker, that was a disaster in and of itself, but the entirety of the race, people spinning out in the corners, and we talk about tires all the time, we talk about the setups on these cars. What would you have rated Texas?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I can barely remember Texas. And I say that simply because I've never been a huge fan of that track. It seems like it's gotten better last few years. Maybe it's this car and the package and so on. It's not as bad to me as it used to be. That's one. I did not watch that flag to flag. I kind of had it on while I was doing some other things. Mm-hmm. And was listening to part of it and watching part of it. You know, there's still an issue. I don't know if it's tires or what's going on with a lot of these single car spins. But that's, again, that's a wrinkle, that's an aspect of it that guys have to deal with, teams have to deal with. You know, I'm okay if Texas only got one date.
Right.
You know, to me, that's just never been as attractive as a lot of other places. But, you know, it's been an interesting season, I think, to this point. We've got, you know, big question hanging over everybody is when is Ford going to win? You know, we got to see a Ford driver get their victory lane at some point. And who's it going to be and when's it going to be? So that may be something that's probably a big storyline going into today.
And you would think so. I mean, honestly, I would rate Texas. And I'll be like, I love this sport. And obviously, if I didn't love this sport, you know, we wouldn't be doing this show right now. But what I saw at Texas, it was probably one of the hardest races that I've ever had to watch. And I'm not I'm the same way with Pocono as you are Texas, and I cannot stand watching a race up there. Sometimes I always find myself taking a nap during that race. But last week, it wasn't to the point where it was boring, but it was just aggravating watching cars spin out and spin out and spin out and then having to redo the green-white checkered as many times as we did. And it never helps that, you know, Chase Elliott gets the win at Texas, his first win since 2022. So, you know, there's going to be a lot to unpack with what we've got coming up. Of course, we got this interview with Carson Quapel coming up in about a minute and a half. Actually, we're going to commercial in a minute and a half. So in about 3.5 minutes, we're going to be doing our interview with Carson Quapel, in which I think everybody's going to enjoy this one. Gives you a really good insight as to what's going on in that level of NASCAR in the Xfinity Series, and even outside of NASCAR in the Cars Late Model Series, and just some of the other stuff that he has done. And JL, he was not shy about the fact that he thinks he's better than his brother. I remember talking with him about that, and I was like, wow, he is ultra confident.
Well, and speaking of that, they've got a connection through sponsorship with our friends at Keene Parts, and Keene Parts has sent us some beautiful-looking brand-new hats. I don't know who remembers this, but Carson was wearing one of these new Keene hats, and I had one last night at Smoky Mountain. We're going to, over the next few weeks, be giving those away. We've got some Team Parts t-shirts we're going to be giving away. We've got three-quarter sleeve shirts. We've got some good-looking stuff. So people definitely want to keep listening, but also follow on social media, because we're going to be announcing pretty soon what, who they need to follow, what they need to do to get a chance at some of that new swag from Keens. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, at Fan Run Radio, we love swag bags, and we are more than happy to make that happen for you. When we return, Carson Quapel, two-time driver of the Xfinity Series this year with two top fives, will join us next. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio and Rattling Cages on the way.
What's the difference between an ordinary EV and a Mercedes-Benz EV? The feeling. Electric is what gets you there. Mercedes-Benz is what moves you in ways no other automaker can. Feel the freedom of the superbly versatile seven-seater EQB. Revel in the inspired, customizable comfort of the EQE sedan. Sense the brilliant intelligence of the EQE SUV. Discover the boundless capability of the EQS SUV. And luxuriate in the flagship meets spaceship magnificence of the EQS sedan. Every Mercedes-Benz electric vehicle offers the very latest MBUX voice-activated AI software, as well as remote access to a whole host of functions via the Mercedes Me Connect app. The vehicle's electric, the feeling all Mercedes, the choice all yours. Test drive a Mercedes-Benz electric today at your local dealer or learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.
At Knoxville Smiles, we're bringing the future of modern dental care to East Tennessee today. Everybody wants gleaming, beautifully white teeth, but very few enjoy the scraping and polishing with all the gritty stuff that gets stuck in your mouth. Well, all of that will soon be ancient history. At Knoxville Smiles, the future is here now with guided biofilm therapy. Using a gentle erythritol powder mixed with air and warm water, we can clean your teeth better than ever without all the poking, scraping, and scratching. So, if the thought of going to the dentist fills you with a lot of stress and anxiety, this will be music to your ears. It's a kinder, gentler approach, and Dr. Stephen Malone and Michael Costa are proud to be among the first to offer it in Knoxville. Give us a call at 865-539-1776 to set up your appointment. Or just visit us online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Looking for a luxury RV getaway? Then come see Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Just imagine a personal oasis on the French Broad River with outstanding amenities just minutes from the Great Smoky Mountains. Enjoy the quiet, private setting on sites offering unexpected beauty and tranquility. Unplug from everyday life and plug in to the serenity of life on the river, big mountain skies, and bucket list sunsets at Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Serenity in the heart of it all. Visit tworiversrvresort.com.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now at SmokiesBaseball.com.
Fan Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club, an exclusive community of the lifeblood of Fan Run Radio. You, our biggest supporters. With a membership to the 37 Club, you receive exclusive content like podcasts, blogs, and videos, giveaways, and access to exclusive merchandise and events. So join the 37 Club today by going to fanrunradio.com.
Back here on Rattling Cages, Jake Miller, JL, still cruising along with you. Pleased to be joined by Carson Quapel, NASCAR Xfinity Series driver now. And Carson, I must say, you know, it must have been, you know, just, you might have been taken back a little bit by the call in which you were like, hey, we need you to drive this car for the Xfinity Series race. And then you go out and you just absolutely will the thing, man. Tell us what that was like and just your overall reaction to your first race in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, it was obviously a lot. It was fun, of course. I mean, any form or any type of racing is fun. So just going to get to drive something different was a blast for sure. But I'd say the biggest thing was I was just pretty nervous going into it. I mean, it's a little bit more spotlight, I guess you could say, and attention than just the way my races get. So to have all that extra attention and stuff, obviously it makes it a little bit more nerve-wracking. But at the same time, it's once you strap in, you're still just driving a race car, and kind of everything else kind of gets thrown out the window. So I'm super fortunate to be in the position I am with JRM to be able to jump in their Xfinity car like that. And hopefully we get many more.
Carson, JL here. Appreciate you joining us. And it's one thing for a guy to make his first start in the series. It's another thing to make that first start for JRM Motorsports, and then to finish it off with a top five, bringing home fourth at a short track like Martinsville. I'm just curious what your expectations, what your goals were going in. I'm assuming it was just to keep the car clean, but tell me what your mindset was going in versus what the final awesome result was.
Honestly, I really didn't have any expectations. I didn't really want to, I guess, think that we could do something that couldn't happen. So for me, I really just wanted to finish. That was the biggest thing. I just wanted to finish, complete all the laps, and bring home a clean car. And we were able to do that, fortunately. And I was thinking if all that went according to plan, we were gonna naturally come out with a decent finish. And that's ultimately what happened. We ran good, stayed out of trouble all night. Never got beaten with anybody or anything like that, and just had a good enough car that JRM brought to drive it up to top five. And I think we could have got a top three, but just it all kind of fell together there at the end. The end of those races kind of get a little hairy, so kind of anything can go there at that point in the race for sure.
Sure. I think at one point it was either the final pit stop or maybe the next to last pit stop, I think you fell back. I think it was a slower stop. You restarted like maybe 12th or so, still drove your way to the front of the field. So I don't know, if your finish has changed plans or heightened expectations, but what's the next step with JRM? Do you know when you're getting in the car next? What's your next Xfinity start, if you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's really, as of right now, it's the only thing that we had planning. So hopefully that run there, I guess, presents more opportunity, whether it's junior motorsports or it's a truck or the ARC car, kind of, anything. I'm just hoping that was a good enough run to get some attention and maybe get a few more opportunities here and there and something. But right now there's nothing yet, but hopefully here soon we can work stuff out and hopefully run a few more races, whether it's in trucks or Xfinity or whatever.
Okay, so covered Martinsville. Let's take fans back. Your dad, obviously, Travis, experienced racer, Cup Series, trucks, he's done it all. Has that been a hindrance to you? Has that been a help to you? What, with your dad, with his background, what's that meant to you moving forward in your career?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's you're just carrying on the tradition, I guess you could say. And yeah, we as a family, all we do is race, and that's really all we care about. Before I was here at Junior Motorsports, I raced my dad full time with Superbike model stuff, with just me and him working on the car at the shop usually. So coming out of that, it's kind of a little bit of the hard work we put in. It's kind of paid off, I guess you could say. And I'm fortunate to be where I am right now, but no, for sure. I mean, having him right there is definitely a huge help. Just he knows, he's been there, done that, I guess you could say, on all this stuff. So for him to be there to lean on and to ask questions and stuff like that, along with Dale and Josh Berry, is it's a huge one up, I'd say, for sure, and just makes the whole process go way smoother.
Good. So for those that may, the casual fan that maybe just tuned into that race and said, oh, this awful guy, he's running top five, top 10, and so on. Tell us a little bit about your journey to that point, through the ranks. Where have you driven? What have you driven? Who have you driven for? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I started when I was 10, me and my dad running Bandoleros, and then we got a legend car and got into some dirt outlaw kart stuff. And, I mean, along the way, I really basically grew up running those dirt, not micro sprints, but mini outlaw karts, and ran some micro sprint stuff, ran a few midget races and a sprint car race or two, but mainly focused on the late model stuff in the last 5 years. And we've been running for the few years ago, me and my dad ran full time with the super late model stuff, the Cars Tour and some of the Midwest Tour races and stuff like that. So that's kind of what we've been focusing on as a family team the last few years. And then I guess we just had won the Cars Tour Championship in 21, and Dale Jr. called to have me drive his car at the end of that year at Florence. And at that point, it was just kind of, I think they were just trying to feel me out, seeing what they thought of me. And then they signed me up for the full year in 2022, and I ran full time in the Cars Tour 2022-2023, and here we are now.
So it's got to be one thing to have a car owner call you and say, hey, we want you in our car. But when it's Dale Earnhardt Jr., of all people, I mean, what's that like when you get that call, when he wants you to drive? I mean, can you walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge deal, obviously, to have someone like Dale Jr. Calling the phone wanting you to drive his race car. It's obviously, it's huge. I mean, at the point where I was, it was kind of, don't want to put it like this, but it was a dead end road for me. I was kind of doing all that we could as a family operation, running super late models, and that's kind of, we were kind of pretty much stuck. That's all we could do. And to get a break like that, and to drive for obviously arguably one of the most popular drivers and team owners, is a huge deal. And obviously you look back at late model teams stats at Junior Motorsports running the Cars Tour and local races, it's pretty impressive. So to have a car owner that popular and a team that good that calls you up is it's pretty awesome.
Sure, no doubt. So a couple final questions for me, then Jake may have something. But first of all, I know you've had a lot of support coming up through the ranks. Tom and TJ Keene with Keene Parts are friends of ours. They're sponsors of yours. Can you tell us what they've meant to your career moving up to the ranks at this point?
Oh, I mean, they're a huge deal to me, of course, and me and my family. They've been with us since, I think, 2015 or 2014 or so. It's been a long journey for sure. They were on my Bandolero, my first Bandolero I had. So I've gotten to build a really good relationship with those people. Tom and TJ, they're great people, obviously, and they help out the sport in many different ways, whether it's sponsoring a race car or sponsoring a series or whatever you want to say. They're in everything, I guess you'd say, and they obviously make really good Corvette parts for sure. So those people, they've helped a tremendous amount to me and my dad and my brother, and they're continuing their support with my brother, with my dad, and I can't wait to keep building a relationship with them. And hopefully I can say that they got me to the Xfinity Series.
Well, I know I said I had two more questions, but I lied because you remind me of another one. I have two more now at this point. So first of all, I want to know, you mentioned your brother, Caden, one-on-one, equal equipment, on the track. Who's the better driver, you or your brother?
Me. That's right. Short answer, I guess, me. Usually when we race together, I usually beat him, but usually I have more experience. I'm a few years older than him, so obviously we both probably have different answers on that one. But I've ran stuff for a few years before he jumps in it, so usually I have the more experience than him. And
sure.
I don't know, he's a pretty good driver. Obviously he's gotten really good at working on his car, like I did back when I ran with my dad, and he's starting to really understand the stuff and figure it out.
Well, that was a quick answer. Like, you're pretty sure of it. And also, you make a good point. You got more experience being older. But then my final question for you is, so we're waiting to see what that next step is. Who calls you for either a truck, for an Xfinity Series ride? in the meantime, what are you doing? You still running late models, or what's going on in your driving career until that call comes?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still full-time here at the late model shop Monday through Friday, working on the late model that I run in the Cars Tour and a handful of other races throughout the year. So staying busy with that, obviously. Hopefully we get some opportunities. And other than that, though, I'm just running this late model here. I might run my dad's super late model, the Snowball Derby or something. But for sure, running the Cars Tour full-time or as much as I can with these late model guys. And hopefully getting some more car show victories.
That sounds great. Jake may have something for you, but before he does, and I'll let him take over, where can folks follow you? Social media, where can they find you? Where can they follow you? Where can they know what's going on with your career?
Yeah, on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, I'm Carson_Quapil. Last name is KVAPIL. Instagram, @CarsonQuapil. And on Facebook, @CarsonQuapilRacing. Those are the main three for me, at least.
Awesome. Jump in here, Jake.
Yeah, sure. So, Carson, when you're running these late model races for Dale Earnhardt Jr., you look at your stats, and it's a multitude of wins. I only see three races from last season in which you did not finish top five. When you're going out and you're dominating that way, and I call it video game mode, and in football, the comparison would be Alabama football. Like, do you just go into that mode to where anything other than a top three or a top five is a failure? Do you ever go into that mode when you're going out and running these races?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the stats on Josh Berry and the Flame All team, it's pretty crazy, and it's pretty impressive. So, for me, even out the box with these guys, my first race with these guys, just I know how good the equipment is. I know how good the crew chief is. You know what I'm saying? Everything's good. So when you don't go out there and win, or at best or at worst, the top three, it's kind of a disappointment, I guess you'd say, right? We just raced at Goodyear All-American, or sorry, New River All-American Speedway this past week, and I think we finished fifth. And that was, I mean, I'm not bummed about it, but it ain't good, right? It's just, I know the stuff's capable of winning, and we've obviously been there, done that. So for us not to go out there and win kind of is a letdown. But at the same time, this Cars Tour is so difficult. I mean, I felt like we had a car that was capable of winning the race the other day, and we finished fifth. Right? It's insane how difficult these local races are, and it just goes to show how competitive everybody is.
And you know, it kind of ties into the fact too. I mean, you almost look at it, you know, for reference, like the NBA G League or another one of these minor league, you know, organizations that are trying to feed into the pros. And it's not just young guys like you. Like, there are older people that are running this series as well that are fighting for a spot or try to get a spot and make that big jump, whether that be the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series. You know, obviously they're going to have to hit that before they hit Cup in most cases. But, you know, that's something that really stands out to me, is the fact that you're this young and you're able to go out and compete like you do. Of course, I think you had five wins last year. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it was five last year.
And then, of course, you know, like I said, I only see three that are outside of the top five. I mean, you're running second, fourth, third, fourth, second, fifth, and then you win five. And it's just amazing to me to see that kind of success. And, you know, of course, you know, you grew up in this. You know, your dad, Travis, who raced for many years, won a Truck Series title, you know, back, I think, the year that you were born in 2003. So, I mean, what has he been your biggest influence in all this, or have there been other factors and other influences that have helped you along the way as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would say he's been the biggest influence, but, I mean, you kind of got to look at it this way. I don't want to say this is why, but, I mean, growing up, racing with my dad, it was me and him going to the racetrack at least every weekend, if not racing a dirt car on Wednesday, asphalt car on Saturday. So you can't have bad runs when you race like that. And I don't know. I guess you just learn to just finish the races. I feel like that's the biggest thing me and this team in particular, has been really good at. We don't fall out of races, and we don't wreck. We don't get caught up in anything. We run good, stay out of trouble, and come home with a top five most days. And Obviously, we go there to win, but I'd rather win five races and not DNF a single time, rather than winning seven races and DNFing four times. If that makes any sense, it's just
sure.
All about consistency. And this team, these guys give me a great car week in and week out that I can rely on, and it doesn't fail. We always finish the races, and we just stay out of trouble. And whenever you do that and you run good every week, wins are going to come. And that's just kind of how it's been for us.
So let me ask you this.
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you this real quick, Carson. So you're running the late model there for JRM. Monday through Friday, what do you do? I mean, you're at the track on the weekends, but are you in the shop? Are you helping the guys, giving them feedback? Tell the fan what's going on during the week there at the shop with you.
Yeah, my Monday through Friday is working 8 to 5 at the JRM late model shop with Brian and Slim, the mechanic. So it's tough having a full-time job and also having a full-time job on the weekends. It gets busy for sure. Trying to balance it all out, right? But no, I'm full-time here at the shop and working on the car, just getting stuff set up and getting stuff to the racetrack week in and week out. And fortunately, I'm fortunate enough to be able to drive those cars on that weekend. So I'm super happy with where I am right now.
Right.
Fantastic stuff, Carson. Tell us one more time where to find you on Twitter.
Twitter, I'm Carson _Quapil. The last name is KVAPIL.
There you have it, folks. Carson Quapil. Check him out on Twitter. Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
Is your home's exterior in need of a makeover? If so, it's time to call North Knox Siding and Windows. Transform your home's curb appeal with premium siding options. From classic to modern styles, they've got something to suit every taste. Upgrade to energy-efficient windows that'll keep your home comfortable all year round.
Final segment of the program right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, JL Steele, Rattling Cages, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run Radio app. Guys, if you've not already, go check out SM Athletics. If you've got any business apparel that needs to be made, any team uniforms that need to be made, check us out online at smathletics.com. All right, JL, it's the day. Cup Series at Dover, the Monster Mile, the Dirty Dover, as some call it. I say some call it that. I'm probably one of the only people that actually calls it that. But, of course, leading the pack today is none other than Kyle Busch. Outside of him in row one is Ryan Blaney. Row two, you have William Byron and Tyler Reddick. Row three, Noah Gregson, Denny Hamlin. Row four, Chase Briscoe, Michael McDowell, and row five, Alex Bowman, A.J. Allmendinger. When you look at that top 10, who in your mind actually has one of the better chances to win this race today?
Well, I think there are a few of them, and I'll say this real quick before we preview Dover. I just want to thank Carson Quapil for joining us. I know that interview is a couple weeks old, but it was really good timing to get it on after another great run by him yesterday. So hope our listeners appreciate that. It's an interesting field. You know, Kyle Busch has struggled. We know what he's capable of when everything goes right, but he struggled. He's had problems on pit road. He's had issues spinning out. It's got to be a huge boost, even for a veteran like him, to be on the pole. He's got a chance. You have to wonder, like I mentioned, when is Ford going to win? You know, is Blaney going to be the one coming from the front row to put Ford in victory lane this year? And a guy who, is really, he could really use a breakout race and is it too much to ask Noah Gregson to come away with a win today? Of course, when you're at Dover, you have to pay attention to Toyota, specifically Truex. You know, last year, his brother Ryan won the Xfinity race, and then Martin followed it up with a rescheduled Monday race. Cup race was rained out on that Sunday last year, and so what a story that was for the Shields, you know, to have the Truex brothers win a home track. Knowing the TV guys, they're probably going to pulling for that today, but I've got my eye on Kyle Busch. Can they keep it together on pit road? Can he give them a run like we've been expecting to see Kyle Busch run with Childress this year? So that's my number one pick.
And it's funny enough because he is actually the seventh best odds for today. He's not even top five. You're top five in odds. Kyle Larson at plus 400, William Byron at plus 600, Martin Truex at plus 650, Denny Hamlin at plus 650, and Ross Chastain at plus 850, Ryan Blaney right before Kyle at plus 900. A very interesting list. And, of course,
yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I wonder why Ross has such good odds. What's it like about him?
I'd have no idea, which, I mean, granted, as we all know, Vegas, you know, they tend to know what they're doing when it comes to stuff like this. And they know enough not to let us make these parlays like we used to make and have a guy walk away with $1 million after only putting in 10 cents. That's $1 million loss. But, you know, I don't know what their infatuation is with him today. You know, that one's one that really strikes me as really, like, we're going to put him that high up? And I, like you said, yeah. You know, Martin Truex, you understand that one. Denny, you understand it. And, you know, of course, Kyle Larson, William Byron doing what they do, you understand that. But, you know, this is just I'm kind of dumbfounded by the Ross Chastain odds. Now, maybe
that's kind of curious.
Maybe they know something that we don't. Maybe they know something that we don't. And I'll tell you who else I would put in as my dark horse for today as far as odds. You know, we talk about Ford, you know, really needing that win. Noah Gregson is at plus 8,000. Right now. And it almost seems like with the Fords, of course, you got Ryan Blaney. He's still fairly young. You know, Joey, he's been around the sport, you know, for over a decade now. You know, he's in his 30s. And, of course, Brad, you know, tried to do the same thing that he did in his first win in the NASCAR Cup Series last week with Michael McDowell, same thing that he did to Carl Edwards. Maybe not to that degree, but you get the gist. And maybe it's time for one of the young guys from Ford to step up. And say, you know what? Nobody else is getting it done. Why not me? Why not me? Why not today?
Well, Noah's my dark horse pick. I realize he's starting in a, you know, pretty good spot there in fifth. But just based on his results since he first came in the sport with Legacy, you know, he's not been anything like what he's wanted. He's had some decent runs. Not great runs.
Right.
Stuart Haas, but boy, that team needs something big. They need a win. He could certainly use a win. That'd be a heck of a story. So Noah's my dark horse pick for the day.
That would be mine as well. My other two picks, I would say, would have to be Martin Truex Jr. And you know what? Let's round it out. Let's do the trifecta. Ford, a Chevy, a Toyota. Let's go Kyle Busch as my favorite Chevrolet today.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I get Truex. I can't bring myself to do it. I'm sorry. I'm biased. It's so be it. But Kyle's my number one pick. Noah's my dark horse, and I'm going to go with Blaney as well.
There you go. There are the picks for the day. And, you know, it was funny because, you know, you and I kind of feel the same way about Martin Truex. And then, of course, the morning show here at Fan Run Radio, which you can catch Monday through Friday at 7 to 10. You know, of course, we did the interview with Rick Barnes back in January. And I was shocked to find out that, number one, Rick Barnes is a NASCAR guy. Like, that's what he does on his Sundays is he watches NASCAR. And two, that his favorite driver was Martin Truex. And he said he didn't really know why, but ever since he started watching, you know, once Martin Truex came into the sport, he said he just liked something about the guy.
Well, I'd be curious what it is. What that something is that he likes.
Well, I mean, let's call it like it is. We're, you know, we're almost done with basketball portal season, and once the roster's finalized, maybe we can reach out and, you know, maybe have Rick come in and maybe do a show with us one day.
Heck yeah.
I would love to have
all
that.
For it.
Best coach in Tennessee basketball history, whether we want to admit it or not. Now, I didn't want to admit it for the longest time, and now I have to admit it. Now
I am all for it.
Absolutely. Of course, we got a few minutes left in the show, and, you know, JL, we wanted to, you know, end the show usually with our picks, but, of course, you know, we've not really had a lot of content the past few weeks, and, you know, that's partially our fault. That's partially, you know, just technical difficulties, you know, because there are things that happen when you move studios. There are things that happen, you know, some stuff's not the same. Some stuff stays the same. Really, the only constant is the voices behind the mic. That's really the only constant when it comes to this. And we just wanted to apologize for not being able to produce a show over the past few weeks when we haven't been able to. You know, we tried to do the Twitter Spaces a couple of weeks ago, and I thought that went very well because, you know, we had Tommy jump in, and I appreciate Tommy doing that just because he has such a unique insight to all this. Because Tommy, of course, in the career that he has, he understands these setups. He understands, you know, different parts of the car that the common fan does not know. And, of course, you know, I know of these parts, but I can't get in depth like Tommy does. And I thought Tommy did a fantastic job jumping in with us a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, good guy, knowledgeable fan. I tell you, I know we mainly focus on NASCAR and the stock cars, but I'll tell you the big story this week. I don't think it's finished reverberating. It's this push-to-pass cheating scandal with Penske over in Indy.
Yes.
I'm going to be anxious to tune in that race at Barber Motorsports Park outside Birmingham today just to see how that's covered. I think everyone knows Roger Penske has a great reputation, but it has really taken a hit. And I'm not even claiming that Penske himself had any knowledge of this. I think it went on well beneath him. But the fact is, when you own the series and you own a team in that series, you naturally are set up for even the appearance of conflicts of interest. Now, they were penalized, but, you know, how long was this going on? They claim it came from a test session months ago, but this is just not a good look. And you and I have talked about this when we've talked about gambling in sports. Any sport cannot afford to have its integrity questioned. Because then it ceases to become a sport. Then it's nothing but an entertainment show. And IndyCar is in a tough spot right now. They're not getting the viewers. They had pathetic numbers for last week's race. I think 300 and some thousand viewers. They're trying to get a new TV deal put together. They cannot afford this. So that's going to be interesting to watch what the fallout is. We've seen a little bit of it with Joseph Newgarden having a press conference Friday. And there are other drivers speaking up, but this is just not a good look for Indy as they approach the month of May, which is their big month for the Indy 500. So that's something worth watching, I think.
And there's nothing worse than having controversy when it comes to your biggest event. I mean, we've seen it in NASCAR. You know, you go back to 2007, Michael Waltrip and the rocket fuel, I think, is what was used in their cars. And, you know, that's one of the worst looks you could have for a sport is having a scandal, a cheating scandal, right before your biggest event. And like you said, you know, we got the Indy 500 coming up next month. And now they have to, I mean, they've got to face the music on that. There's not going to be any getting around it because I know how reporters are. They're going to come in, they're going to ask the tough question, and they're going to get an answer. Whether you like it or not, they're going to find a way to get an answer. Because you can deny all you want. But if someone really wants to know something, they're going to get it out of you. And when they ask the question, they already know the answer. They're just trying to see if you have it in you to admit it.
Yeah, and based on all the feedback, all the responses from both anonymous car owners as well as some drivers who've gone on record, nobody's believing the explanation that Penske or their drivers are putting out there. I mean, they all feel like this was a blatant attempt to manipulate the system. And it's just, again, it's just not, there's no happy ending to this. I don't see, it's just going to take a lot of time to rebuild that credibility. And it's a shame for a guy like Penske with his reputation to be tarnished at this, you know, stage in his career and his life. But it's certainly going to be, as an observer, it's going to be interesting and enjoyable to see the fallout and how this thing plays out in the coming weeks.
And I'll be paying pretty close attention to this, because this is, I wouldn't say unprecedented because we've seen it before, but it's just very, very odd knowing who it's coming from. And we talked some about, you know, NBA on the show very little, because there's a cheating scandal going on there right now. Players just been banned for life for gambling. Yeah. But, you know, to end the show on a funny note, JL, did you happen to see what Charles Barkley said yesterday after the Pelicans lost?
No, I did not. I was at the track from mid-afternoon on into late last night. I really missed just about everything except for the Xfinity race.
So essentially, what they do at the end of the year, if a team's not making the playoffs or if a team made the playoffs and they're getting put out, they say they're going fishing. And they usually make a graphic and they send them to Cancun. Well, Charles Barkley and Shaq, of course, we know the comedic relief they have on that show. They're serious, but at the same time, they put on a great show. And Shaq said, "Where are we sending them, Chuck?" He's like, "Galveston." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "People will have that dirty water down there. They think it's a beach. They're going to Galveston. Maybe Team Penske needs to go down to Galveston. That way they can appreciate some of the good things in life. That dirty water." Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's right.
That is going to do it for us. JL, thank you so much, man. We'll talk this week.
You bet. Everybody enjoy the race and have a great day.
Absolutely. Something else coming up next here on Fan Run Radio. Tune in tomorrow for the morning show with John Reed and Bob Baskerville and Sam Beard right here on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a down.